This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. More than 1,400 deaths in Wisconsin last year were related to opioid drugs. That's up 16% from 2020, up 56% from 2019. Our next guest says good Samaritan laws can help save lives in the opioid epidemic by giving some protection to people who call 911 in the event of an overdose. But she says to have the biggest impact, Wisconsin's good Samaritan law needs to be strengthened. Dr. Elizabeth Salisbury Afshar specializes in treatment for opioid addiction at UW Health. She's part of the Wisconsin Good Samaritan Coalition, which is pushing for changes to the state's law. Dr. Salisbury Afshar, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
People may run into Good Samaritan laws in different contexts. What do we mean by Good Samaritan laws when it's related in particular to opioid overdoses?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I will definitely jump in. I think that the first thing I want to say, though, is that opioid overdose deaths are preventable. Mm-hmm. And they're preventable when people can get timely naloxone administration and medical care in the event that they are experiencing an overdose. And so Good Samaritan laws were really created. The first one was passed in the United States in 2007 with a key goal in mind. And that key goal is that we want people to feel safe in getting help for a friend or a loved one, or even, you know, could even be someone they don't know, that if they call 911, that they themselves have legal protections, that they won't be prosecuted or arrested because they're in the same, you know, space as someone who's using drugs. Some states have even gone further to include protections for the person who's experiencing the overdose, again, to protect them from having legal repercussions if they do survive the overdose.
Let's talk about that a little more. In that situation, say I'm in the room with a person who's overdosed. If the goal is to save the person's life, you don't want me hesitating and worrying because I'm worried that, well, I also use those medications, or am I going to get this person arrested? We're trying to overcome that reluctance to get that care that needs to happen on a very strict timetable, right?
Absolutely. And so unfortunately, what we see so often, and I will just say, both in Wisconsin and in several other states, I have had the duty to review overdose fatality cases. So after people have died, going back through the medical examiner case, and it's very common that we see that there were other individuals at the scene where the overdose was happening, but people get scared. It could be that they were also using substances. It could be that they are on probation or parole. It could be that maybe a loved one is in my house using substances, even though I didn't know and had nothing to do with it. I'm really afraid to call 911 because at that point the police could come and I don't know what's going to happen. And I don't feel confident that, I will be protected legally. The other thing that we know happens frequently, unfortunately, in Wisconsin, and unfortunately, I don't have data. I would just say anecdotally, I meet patients and families for whom this has happened, is that the individual who survives the overdose then goes on to be arrested and be charged. And the arrest, we know that incarceration is not a quote unquote treatment for addiction. In fact, it actually causes additional harms, causes additional trauma, can increase the risk for future overdose. And then if they are charged and they have felony charges, those charges stay with people for life. It makes it harder for them to get jobs. It makes it harder for them to get housing. So it's actually causing additional harms when someone is arrested and incarcerated solely for experiencing and surviving an overdose. And we unfortunately know that that happens fairly commonly. So this makes, you know, bystanders, family, friends, people feel really nervous. Do I want to call? Not only what could happen to me, but is something bad going to happen to the person that I'm trying to help?
As you mentioned, different states may have different versions of these Good Samaritan laws. I want to dig into the fine points. What specifically does Wisconsin's current Good Samaritan law protect?
Yeah, so it's a little confusing because our original law was passed in 2013 as part of the HOPE legislation. And this provided some pretty limited immunities for the person who calls 911. Then in 2017, we added some additional protections. We added additional protections for the person who called 911. We also added protections for the person who survives the overdose. But interestingly, that 2017 amendment had what's called a sunset clause. And it said, you know, these amendments exist from July of 2017 until July of 2020. And if this clause isn't removed by July of 2020, then everything gets sort of wiped clean and we go back to our original 2013 legislation. folks can probably remember what was happening in the summer of 2020. We were in the midst of a pandemic. You know, there were all kinds of shutdowns and, you know, lots of crises that were trying to be averted. And unfortunately, that sunset clause was not removed. So we went back to the very limited 2013 legislation that really provides some super limited protections for the person who calls. It provides no parole or probation revocation protections, and it provides no protections at all for the person who survives an overdose. I will say this is particularly concerning because available research that's tried to look at what is the efficacy of these laws has found that specifically, you know, that there are all kinds of laws across all of the states. This group, Hamilton et al., it was published in 2021 in the International Journal of Drug Policy. They said, okay, if we look at the stronger laws, which they defined as laws that provide immunity from arrest, compared to the weaker laws, which they defined as sort of everything else, basically not immunity from arrest. What they found is that the laws that offered arrest protections led to a 10% reduction in overdose death. The states that didn't have those arrest protections didn't see any statistically significant reduction in death. So the Wisconsin law offers no arrest protections. So I think that's one important thing to acknowledge. The other important thing to acknowledge is just that even if some of these laws aren't necessarily able to be shown to prevent death, I know from working with patients with addiction on a daily basis that the negative repercussions of being arrested and having these charges follow them for the rest of their lives when their sole offense was really experiencing an overdose and getting medical care stays with people, and it makes it so much harder for people to be able to enter recovery. And so this is, again, what sort of causes a lot of anxiety and reservation around folks feeling confident in calling for help.
We're talking to Dr. Elizabeth Salisbury Afshar, who treats opioid addiction at UW Health and a part of the Wisconsin Good Samaritan Coalition looking for changes in Wisconsin law. Dr. Salisbury Afshar, what are you hoping lawmakers and the governor get together and do to change the law here in Wisconsin?
So I think at a high level, our main goal is that we want to expand protections so that if someone is around a loved one, a family member, a friend who is experiencing an overdose, they feel confident that they can call 911 and get that person help, and that there won't be negative legal repercussions solely for calling 911 and solely for helping that person get medical attention. My goal would be that they would expand to arrest protections. That is my personal goal. I'm not speaking on behalf of other entities, but just because we know based on the current literature and evidence that they're most likely to reduce mortality. I also would advocate that any individual who survives an overdose should be linked to supportive services, not incarcerated and charged because they survived an overdose. And to be clear, the charges are technically around typically possession or paraphernalia that's at the scene. But the only reason that these individuals are sort of caught, if you will, is because they needed medical attention. And our end goal is that we want people to get medical attention. We want people to get the services that they need. We know that people with addiction get better when they get the services that they need. And we want to create a circumstance where people can get that.
And as you mentioned, you work with patients dealing with addiction. What kind of stories have you heard from different people, maybe different communities in Wisconsin that you think highlight the need for stronger Good Samaritan laws?
So I think, you know, at the patient level, there's just a lot of concern and in many ways mistrust about what's going to happen if I try to get help, right? Who's going to be involved in the response? Is it going to be the police? Are we going to get hassled? Even if I'm not doing anything wrong, but let's say maybe I am on probation and I'm with someone who has an overdose, am I going to go back to jail for calling for help? Those are stories I hear on a regular basis. I also meet lots of patients who end up being arrested and charged because there was a small amount of drugs at the scene when they experienced their overdose. And then very sadly, I also meet families who have lost children to overdose and are left wondering, you know, were they with someone when they died? Did someone leave them out of concern for their own, you know, legal situation? And so when we look at the totality of what's happening, when we recognize that we're losing almost 4 people every day to overdose in the state of Wisconsin, you know, something has to change. Something has to give. We need to do things differently. We need to be more supportive in our approaches and really base our approaches in currently available evidence.
And we've talked on the show a lot about synthetic opioids, fentanyl and other related compounds showing up in the drug supply, often where people don't expect them. They're not labeled. Do you see that raising the stakes for Good Samaritan laws, given the likelihood of overdose from those drugs unexpectedly showing up?
Absolutely. So I think the variability in the drug market is what you're referencing. And while people in the past may have purchased a pill that they thought they knew what it was, we're seeing more and more cross-contamination or purposeful contamination. It's not always clear, which is putting people at increased risk. And so absolutely, we want to make sure that, again, everyone feels confident that when they call for medical help, they get medical help, not, you know, criminal legal intervention.
And as we wrap up, Dr. Salisbury Afshar, hopefully we do get the person the treatment they need after an overdose. What are your hopes for next steps, helping them get in a situation where they're not at that risk anymore, getting them treatment that might help them beat the addiction?
That's a great question. I think, you know, it's not a single response. It's going to likely require that we come at this from all angles, from the public health lens, definitely the emergency department where many folks end up. There's an expansion of something called peer recovery support services. And so making sure that we do have an opportunity to offer supportive outreach in linkage to services that people want and need. And there are lots of ways to get to that. And so I appreciate you asking the question. We are seeing some forward movement, but there's always room for improvement.
Dr. Salisbury Afshar, thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much.
That's Dr. Elizabeth Salisbury Afshar. She specializes in opioid addiction treatment at UW Health. She's part of a coalition pushing for changes to the state's Good Samaritan law that she says could save lives in the opioid epidemic.